Welcome to join me.
Eight for fucking nine. 4, 8, 1, 2, 3. Right.
You will now be placed into the conference.
Hello. Is anyone here? No.
Hello.
Hello, Maho. I thought you were here at least. Joined and everyone else. Met Adam.
Can't hear anyone.
No, I thought George had, because I've just got... Thanks for joining, mate. Appreciate.
Let's see. Maybe he's online or on hold.
Well...
He's probably on hold.
I normally go on silent if I'm in the first one. Right. Just wait for Chungi, I guess, and Adam.
Yeah,
I'm going to put myself on mute as well, actually, while I do some other stuff.
Hello?
Well, I'm still here. Don't know if anyone else has joined.
For fuck's sake. Sorry, I wasn't swearing at you, Jay.
Fair enough. Like how many people it takes to bloody change a light bulb, isn't it? 90 messages on the bloody.
To be honest, I think it's only the thing, Matthew. It needs to be discussed because none of the rest of us have any input on the accounts and stuff. So
I don't really see what value anyone can have. Because none of us have ever been allowed to see them or do anything with them. So I'd like zero input into them.
Yes, sir.
All right, you want some pasta or not? What did you have?
No, I'm not. How you doing, mate? How are you guys?
Yeah, I'm alright, yeah.
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad, guys. Is there any way I would get up here at the moment?
Sorry, say that again. You're a bit, like, muffled.
Just us three at the moment?
I think so. I think you're dialing in.
Hi guys, this is George.
How is? I think we're waiting for Matt.
Thanks, Jace, for dialing in, mate. Appreciate it, man.
I think we're waiting for the missing piece of the jigsaw, which is Matt.
No, I'm there. I'm here.
So we're all here.
Oh, you're there, man. Okay. So we're waiting for Vos, are we?
No, Vos is here. We're all here. So let's kick off.
We've got Matt, Mehul, George, Jason, Vos, Linton, Aubrey, can't stand the third attempt to update them after the call. So we're all here, aren't we?
Yeah.
So, Matt, I'm going to let you lead it, mate. Basically, the first item on this. In fact, before I do that, so we don't focus on accounts or anything like that. Firstly, I'm making a public apology to Mehul Patel because my reply and update regarding shares and a number of other matters is massive.
George, I don't care. It's just why I have a massive issue. I'm bored of a share shift. It's just why I have a massive issue.
Okay, Matt, so over to you, mate, in terms of regarding Sting.
Yeah, so just a quick bit of background. So I had the letter from Sting middle of May, when he originally wanted to rescind the shareholders agreement between the transactions between me and Sonia and Anthony and Sonia. I replied back saying, just fuck off. If you do that, then I'll counterclaim because you never paid me for those shares in the first place, because he was basically disputing that no cash went to him or Sonia. Got the reply back for that last Friday. So he basically said he will take settlement of $16,000 for Anthony and then $150,000 for me, and then he will settle this dispute. So first thoughts on it is, in terms of cash flow that's gone backwards and forwards, so basically back in 2010, I sold 108 shares to Sonia to the tune of $82,000. And then 2 years later in 2012, I then bought back 128 shares from Sonia, so more. And then Anthony bought 21 shares back from Sonia. So if you net that off, it's basically a surplus of 31,000 quid or 41 shares. So if it were, you know, if it ended up going to a judge, you would probably say, well, there's a difference here, you own the difference. The difference would be 30 Rand for 41 shares. Now, most likely, Rand's just trying to get his hands on some shares here so he can just be difficult and cause trouble for us. If you take the 41 shares, that equates to the current shareholdings that are on Companies House with the shares with Aubrey and Adam Bose and so on. That would equate to, the 41 shares would equate to 2.99%. If you're looking at any kind of other shareholdings that might be in people's minds, i.e. if you took the, you absorbed the SNE shares back in, you absorbed my shares back in, those 41 shares would then equal around 19%. So if Rand
you, mate, just I want to confirm those numbers. You're saying basically on today's Company House shareholding, which by the way, assuming everyone knows this, but basically the final situation in Company House is post the actions taken to protect against rescission that we've did, right? So if it on the current numbers, he can get 41 shares equaling 2.99%. If prior to any of the actions that were taken, i.e. before settlement and so on, he'd be entitled to
18.81%.
Okay, thanks. Sorry to interrupt.
So if he's under 5%, can't do anything at all, got no rights, can't do anything. So that's not, even if he had to give it to him, not really that much of a problem. If it was 18.8%, then if you're less than 25%, then you do have the right to call a general meeting and you do have a right to audit accounts. So, again, you know, it's not the end of the world, but it's, you know, it's just he's going to be, you know, problematic and
you also have the issue right, for us forevermore. You also have the right to file a section 993, I think it's called.
994.
And that might be the angle he's going for. It would be basically, I'm now a shareholder. I want to make the same unfair prejudice.
I think that would be the route as well, because ultimately he'd still be under the 25% threshold, which still allows us to wind the company up, but he gives him room to just be a pain.
Anyway, go on, Matt.
So in terms of, he said I need to pay in within 2 weeks, which so that'll be next Friday. The lawyers that I'm using just asked a couple of questions about, okay, or what were there any dividends received by me during the time? One of the things he was saying is that although he didn't pay me for my shares in 2010, Sonia gave up her right to dividends and then paid them to me, which isn't the case because there was a dividend paid in between period, which didn't come to me.
Please hold.
And then after that, he was also kind of insinuating in his letter that I transferred when I sold shares back to the company. Is everyone still there? When he's inferring that when I transferred and sold shares back to the company as part of my settlement, it was at a much higher amount than what he had. I think that's another point
Can you just repeat the last paragraph concerning dividends? Because I spoke to Albie last week and he said the dividend angle, it was the dividend angle he thought was prevalent regarding Singh.
So the share transactions were, I sold shares 2010, bought them back in 2012. In May 2011, there was a dividend paid out, which I didn't receive any money from. So that one, you know, you can't be argued that Sonia relinquished her rights of dividends, and then
Who did that dividend go to?
That went to Sonia, SHL, your mum, and Mehul's dad.
So I'm confused. Why would, if he's your mate at that point, and you've given him your shares, basically, as I understand, so that you can no longer be a shareholder and that you and Ranveer can move away from Schneider, as was the plan, why would you not be entitled to a dividend, even if that dividend didn't go to you and went to Sonia, and surely, given that you are mates and you're working on this together, he would have then given you a additional bonus or a consultancy fee to your wife or a something to basically say you for the dividend in 2011.
Yeah, so what I think happens, I've not dug through all of the numbers and so on, but I'm probably 95% sure that the money that I was owed via the proportion of whatever it was that I was owed from Sonia, which I think was worked out at like 16 grand or 20 grand or something, that proportion, or that amount of money actually came to me via extra payments in Brand UK or Talking Forex or one of those companies. So that's not directly from Sonia, and it's also really nothing to do with this.
But only on a legitimate kind of audit trail, nothing to do with this, but
yeah,
on for purposes of the people on this call, they should be aware of that, and it may have no implication, or it may, but
yeah,
that's basically the factual situation of what happens. Yeah,
but on paper, nothing from Sonia's thing to me, relinquishing her dividend to me. Okay. And no payments from her either. And then there was another dividend in March 2012. And this is what I can't quite figure out or remember. So the shareholders agreement in 2012, also the share purchase agreement when I bought shares back, that's signed and dated, and, you know, stamp duty certifications, everything, you know, officially done in November 2012. However, on Companies House, the shares were transferred in March 2012.
And before or after the dividend payment?
So the dividend payment was made on the 31st of March 2012. Both me and Anthony received the dividend payment in the correct shareholding, but the share purchase agreement was not actually signed until November 2012. So I'm not too sure of the significance of that.
Probably not that much if you receive money on the back of those shares. I could argue it's just clerical, maybe.
Basically, I think the legal position, by the way, on all of this would be that those shares were held under constructive trust to you.
Right. Okay. And then that last part is then he's inferring that he's asking for what payments I've received since 2012 in terms of dividends and so on. And then with the last part being that when I sold shares back to the company as part of my settlement, he's inferring that I had a much higher price per share than what he had in his settlement.
Sorry, Matt, can you repeat that, please?
So he for part of my settlement agreement, I sold 160 shares back to the company, which were the equivalent of 85 grand. So that was done on the same rate as what you bought. The company bought shares back from Ranbir, but he's inferring in his letter that I've transferred them back to the company at a much higher rate than what he had. So I think there's one point he's trying to get shares back himself and cause a problem. The second point is I think he's trying to show that he was, you know, treated unfairly because the money that he was paid for his shares was considerably less than mine.
That's the unfair thing.
That's
the unfair purchases thing that George was saying earlier.
Yeah.
It's completely unfounded because Matt's number for the price for his shares was exactly the same as Ranbir's. Something that we keep coming back to and that we need to ensure is that we need to make sure that the remainder of the settlement agreement that's outstanding for Matt is shown to be repaid to the company now. That can be repaid by some consultancy fees or whatever, but at the moment we haven't addressed that correctly. And arguably all the directors of the company, and my former position is we should be chasing Matthew Chung for that money. Now, arguably we chase Matthew Chung for that money, but that money can be repaid as a consultancy fee or whatever. But those invoices to you, there should be, and maybe, you know, we're 12 months behind the curve, but there's nothing to stop it happening now, yeah, because you have persisted in various matters historically as well, is to create a bunch of invoice in the current financial tax year to you, where Fiat would say, due for consulting to Matthew Chung, credit in lieu of debt, boom, net-net, zero cash payment. But you've then got a historic audit record in terms of resolving the issue of unfair prejudice that Rambier might be able to leverage. And the second point is, I think Man Limited needs to bear it anyway, and therefore will be fighting all this through a, in the commas, friendly liquidator in any event.
Yeah.
In
terms of replying back to him, obviously we're not going to pay him any money, and I don't have any money anyway. One alternative is just to not reply back to him at all and just see what he comes up with.
You've got to remember that in the end, something that I've learned through all of this is, you know, one day if this does ever end up, if anything ends up in front of a judge, you've looked like you've been like the golden boy and always done the right thing. And, you know, even if you don't agree, you're not going to pay any money, you know, to show politeness and respect for the law, you know, is worthy of replying. So I don't think not replying is the best option. I think dragging it out is definitely the best option. So at every point say, you know, I'm working full time, apologies, I don't have a huge amount of time to reply, but ultimately I don't agree with this, la, 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 la. And maybe the consultancy thing that we're talking about, you know, there's money left over that helps. Maybe it's not just net zero. Maybe there's a residual amount that is cash in hand. So basically it's an agreement between the company and you that 75% of it is offset against the debt and whatever the numbers are for the consultancy. And then the 25% or 50% or whatever the numbers work out, this is off the cuff, mate, is that those go against, so basically a chunk goes against thing and then you get paid for consultancy. I mean, if it coordinates luckily and fortuitously that the ratio therefore allows you to settle your legal bills, then that's nothing to do with the company. That's just a bit of luck for you.
Yeah. Yeah, and that really can't be challenged by Randy, because it's after that settlement agreement, then he's not provided any services to the company, quite the opposite, in fact. So I don't even see how.
Well, if you don't pay exactly the same ratio, not for the shares, but for the general settlement, I mean, you helped from the very beginning. You were the whistleblower. You aided the company recover money. There's a very strong argument for allowing you a margin of reduction in your penalty to the company for that. So.
But I don't think there's even nearly a really need. There is. I don't think there's even a need to give him a margin for reduction on paper, because ultimately Matthew is an incredibly talented person in the sport/fintech arena, and therefore is entitled to a consultancy agreement to reflect that. So I don't think there's anything that needs to be done to say we're being generous because of X, Y, and Z. But what we're saying is, we as a company need your expertise. You owe us some money. We're going to pay you for that expertise, and you're going to agree to offset X amount of that for the outstanding debt, and you're going to and the remaining amount, as I say, if that just happens to be able to help you with your legal fees, then so be it. That also protects the company from being included or obliged to the liability of any legal costs going forward between you and RAN, which basically vis-a-vis the situation that we've got ourselves in trouble with almost with Stuart.
The one issue will be, why suddenly now is money changing hands?
As I understand, it may be that the company decided to offer this agreement to Matt a while back. We just haven't done the invoices yet.
Yeah. Well, that would be the challenge from our point of view. I'm just raising it.
I don't think there's any issue in terms of Matthew, in terms of your shares and the amount you got paid for your shares. I think there's not a leg to stand on. You know, it's very, very clear in the settlement agreement and the amount, and it's, you know, lodged at the company's house. And I'm actually surprised that he's bringing that up, because I thought he would know that. Because you remember an email Sonny accidentally sent to Sonia?
Yes.
I thought that included those terms. But in any case, you haven't got a leg to stand on. You've got the same price for the shares that Randy did. You're entitled to a consultancy if the company believes that to be in the best interest of the company. That resolves the repayment of your outstanding debt and so on. Then the other matter is your legal fees. Well, as I said, if there's a residual cash in hand amount of that pro rata payment per month or whatever, that may assist with you in that. I don't know. That would just be luck. And that resolves all of those matters. There's nothing to stop Randy pursuing a case. And all of us have learned in the last 2 years that legal action costs a shitload of money. And, you know, the concern is he hasn't, we're all aware of Randy's situation. He's sitting at home. He's got nothing else to do. He's virtually unemployable. His wife's now gone and got a job. So she's probably earning anything between net residual disposable income of $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 a month. His mum may have agreed to pay all legal costs, or he may have managed to get Richard Eastwood to agree to £1 an hour. Who knows? But the bottom line is he's getting money from somewhere to proceed with these actions. And regardless of whether he's, and I don't think he has got a leg to stand on, I don't think he's got anything he can come back on, albeit the shares maybe a little bit. But if RAM Limited goes into insolvency or liquidation, whether that's solvent or insolvent, sort of irrelevant. Point is, he's not going to get any bloody shares, is he? But somehow he's funding this situation, and the concern more than anything is we all know what legal costs are, and if he believes he has a fight, yeah, then he may well proceed regardless. And if he does that, he could easily spend $300,000. Even, let's say worst case scenario, he thinks he's got a great case and he takes it to trial, and under whatever revenue, whatever angle he chooses to pick, whether it be the shares, whether it be unfair prejudice, whatever, he takes it to trial. He's got somebody working for a pound or his mother paying the bills. He spends $300,000, but it's not really his money. On the flip side, regardless of what the company does to pay you for a consultancy, if you've got to find $300,000, that's a shit day for either you and or the company by implication, potentially. So this then brings to the next thing. One, I think RAM Limited going insolvent would, or sorry, RAM Limited going into liquidation and being wound up probably will put a stymer or a stop to his plans in some ways, because it's pretty evident, by the way, he falsely misrepresented me to ITC the day that he thought RAM Limited was being wound up because we hadn't done the accounts or whatever it was. My own view on that is he was pissed off, and therefore when he had his bottle of wine and, you know, whatever grams of coke that evening, hypothetically, allegedly, he then contacted ITC pretending to be me, saying, go after RAM clients. I think that was a knee-jerk reaction. And I think it was a knee-jerk reaction because it ruined his entire strategy. So my own proposal...
But then how can we liquidate the company when you've got the VAT man knocking on the door?
Okay, so that's a misunderstanding on your behalf, because the VAT man is knocking on Jet's door.
Right.
Okay. Albeit I did get another letter this week, which was absolutely joyous, saying that the HMRC wants to investigate RAM Limited's corporation tax bill for 2017-18. But my view is that if RAM Limited is put into liquidation, whether that's solvent or insolvent, then those matters will no longer be addressed to any directors. Those matters will be addressed to the liquidator. That will buy us some time. We'll slow down the entire process. Firstly, there's nothing, as far as I know, that's untoward at RAM Limited anyway. So they can investigate, look at accounts, look at bills, whatever, through the insolvency practitioner in that event. And all well and good. I also think the insolvency practitioner, sorry, the HMRC will lose significant interest if a company is in liquidation because there's no money to be had. So, as I say, holistically, I think, you know, sorting out, firstly, there's still the outstanding thing for your migration of debt, Matt, and I've been working with Albie this week on that in terms of my understanding is that legally your assignment has done in full. It can't be partially done, and therefore if it is done in full, there would need to be a net payment, and it's just counting bullshit, but there'd be a net payment from Jets due back to RAM. But ultimately, that's by the by, your debt would then be the new company, i.e. Jets, Jets would then provide you a consultancy agreement, or has, I don't know, because you'd have to check with Jason, and I'm not sure he can remember right now. But ultimately, you know, you may have had a consultancy period historically, but if not, you have a consultancy period from now. And as I said, some of that is cash and some of that is against your debt. And going forward, that resolves the matter in terms of, you know, legal fees. That also resolves the matter in terms of, there's no argument for unfair prejudice. That also resolves the matter in terms of RAN Limited and accounts. You know, it'll be addressed, but it'll be addressed in due course through the liquidator. That resolves all those matters. The one thing it doesn't resolve is, albeit it may throw a spanner in the works because he may be looking for shares and so on, it doesn't resolve the fact that he may still continue to pursue and spend $300,000 to come after you for whatever angle he wants, and or anybody else for that matter. And therefore, you know, the next point I would say is, how do you stop him from doing that? And also, what do we ethically and morally believe to be right? And my view, as I've said in my emails recently, is enough's enough. You know, your brother has done nothing wrong at all, as far as I can see it. And Ranveer has tried to bury him repeatedly over a period of time. I think Mehul, myself, and Adam Vose have been too kind, and probably old friendships, probably just not the one to send anyone to prison. And I take no joy in it, but I believe that we should pursue with the Shareholders Action Group and agree the terms for that across us all. And I believe we should proceed wholeheartedly with the criminal prosecution against Ranveer in the hope that he will then offer I will never take any further action. He's been offered half a dozen ways out. He's never backed down. He's got nothing to do. And do you know what? I'm not even sure we would even take the deal, in my view, but it's not my decision alone. But I am done with him. And it's your brother, more than anything, if I'm honest. The brother had a kid the other day, and despite, you know, lots of challenges of the business, lots of things like, you know, whatever it is, shares, whatever it is, blah, 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 I just think enough's enough. And we've been talking about pulling the trigger for a long time. Jason gives me a lot of shit for being a pussy, if you like. The QC that Adam went to see regarding Singh said, you're basically Dulwich pussies, aren't you? I'm not originally from Dulwich, but I just don't want to send an old school friend to jail. You know, and, you know, I'm just telling my own position, and I'm one of 5-6 people on this call. But ultimately, you know, I've got people that are far kinder and better people than me, like my sister and my mum, saying, you know, enough's enough. He's not going to stop. So we can do all the things that I've just said, and, you know, we don't need to do the criminal action, but I just don't think it's going to stop unless we do.
Matt, just quickly, mate, so everyone may know this, I may not. What was the agreement when more shares came back than went across? Was the, I'm giving you these, you've paid for these in some other manner, but we can't show it on paper, etc. What was the actual reason behind it?
So there was...
You and Anthony receiving more in return than actually went to Sonia in the first place, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, so there was, it's partly to do with...
because Ramy doesn't give shit away, mate, and then pay dividends on it unless he's done it for a reason, so...
So part of it was to do with, so there's a few bits to it. One part is to do with, there was a... In between 2010 and 2012, at the end of 2011, that's when the company bought shares back from Sonny. So in that period, there was essentially, I think I worked it out, about a 6% uplift in Rand's shareholding, or Sonia's shareholding. That's one factor. The other factor is the Ranveer had an agreement with Mehul going back quite a while ago, where Mehul paid money to Ranveer for 5% of the shares. However, that never was done
officially.
It wasn't done initially, and it was just done as an agreement that Ranveer would just give him 5% at some point in time. So when all of this transaction happened,
what documents does Ranveer have regarding that transaction?
So Mehul's got the original loan agreement, and he's got the original deed of trust. Now, there's also a point here which we could use to throw back at Ranveer, is the agreement, and chip in at any point here, Mehul, but the agreement that Mehul had was for his limited company called Nora Investment. And then that the share transaction was with Nora, and the loan, essentially, because it was done as a loan until you pay the, until you give the shares over. And that was with Nora. Now, Mehul...
Sorry, who's Nora?
Nora was the name of Mehul's company. So Nora Limited and Mehul never received any shares or any kind of loan repayments back to them. When all the share kind of rebalancing happened in 2012, so when I sold some shares, I don't know if you remember this, George, but when I sold shares, I sold back, it was 198 shares in total. That went, most of them went to Sonia, and some of them went to Mehul. When I bought them back, I bought a load back from Sonia and some back from Mehul. And then Mehul, at the end of it, was left with his 5% at the time. So on kind of between friends, it was all square, because Mehul's father got the 5%. But in terms of the paperwork that Mehul's got, Mehul's never been paid anything. So I think the original loan paperwork he had like a 15% interest rate on it or something. And if he called in that loan, I think it equates to like 200 grand or something. That's potentially we could throw back at him. But we can probably save that, because we could string it out.
Is there an option here for Mel to get his loan and get his shares? So he gets his shares in Newco or Jets or whatever, which is, you know, chat between Mel and I. But, you know, ultimately he gets shares, whatever, and he can pursue for that money. What's to stop Mehul pursuing for that money?
Nothing.
He gets shares. Why can't Jason and Newco and whatever give Mehul shares anyway, and Mehul pursue for that 200 grand regardless? What if the new company just wants to give shares to Mehul because he's a genius?
Yeah. You can definitely do that, because the old paperwork there that Mehul had...
There is an email chain between Ran and I with regards to that transaction. So he is aware, or he could present or call, why that loan wasn't repaid, and it was for those shares, and then it's a netting off on tax. So I could throw to him that, yes, you owe me this loan, and he will throw back and go, here's this email chain which shows exactly how that 5% was paid for. That 5% of shares was paid for by you, Mehul, and you have received these dividends, blah, blah, blah. And so, you know, it's one of those ones where you're going to spend 100 grand going in front of a judge, and the judge is going to go, actually, this is right, as in, you gave him this money, he gave you the shares. Yes, it was done by Mr. Chung, but it was done by, yes, that's enough for it. And it was done by, and it was done by, yeah, you can have a chocolate in 1 minute, go and watch that. Count to 50. And so I don't really think that that's the angle, because there's a documented email chain where technically I could go repay this loan, and he'll pull out paperwork going, actually, this loan was convertible to these shares, and these shares were converted in this manner. So at best, what it'll do is get Changi out of his predicament.
But do you think he has access to his emails? Because I don't think he does. So I think he would have pulled something more interesting out of the bag by now.
Say that again.
No, there is emails. I've got them on my email chain.
Are they Ranskork emails, or are they his own personal emails?
What do you mean?
He might not have Ranskork emails.
I don't think he'll have his Ranskork emails, but he will have his Tiscali email, the Yanis 21.
If he doesn't have those emails, then he's got nothing to prove. You know, that situation.
Is it worth throwing that in my head, I'm like, we can throw basically, you know, we pick up whatever the best strategic response is, Matt, regarding his current correspondence with you, right? And then we work it out and we say, well, we're not doing this because this and this, whatever the strategic plan is. But secondly, we launch, you know, is there an argument to very simply launch a claim by Mehul for the loan agreement, and simply to launch the criminal action?
I'm not. I don't see the point in me launching a case against Rambia for that loan, because he'll be able to throw back and prove that it was in payment for those shares.
Only if
they
have the emails, mate.
If he does, but, you know, I'll be perfectly honest, in this environment, let's just say where you and I don't see eye to eye right now, am I going to go out my way to put myself and my dad at risk when I don't have shares in jail or anything in dad's name? Absolutely not. And, you know, it's one of the other things that I think, yes, we should absolutely go criminal on Rambia, but am I going to put dad's name on a shareholders action group when he has no shares in his name? I'd be stupid to, right? And therefore, I think there's some underlying issues that need to be sorted out, which hopefully can be.
Underlying issues, and I apologise at the beginning of the call that I'm over to your response to.
But I do think Rambia has to be put to bed, because I think that Richard East, Rambia is, as we all know, very charming. I think he's spent the last year, 18 months, ingratiating himself into Richard East. A quick look at Richard East law firm shows how good they are. The most profitable law firm in the city. There's a reason they're so good, or so profitable. And I think that Richard East is probably working for a pound an hour. And I think when the company dropped the civil litigation, it just gave Rambia stroke Richard East that second wing to go, right, let's spend time doing this. And I can quite...
I definitely agree with that.
I can imagine Sonia and Richard East's wife hanging out, and I can imagine Rambia and Richard East, you know, having a drink, and Richard East just doing this during his lunchtime, going, yeah, this is costing me fuck all. And I personally, as I put in my, I don't know if it was my WhatsApp or whatever, Rambia knows without any disrespect, Matt doesn't have a pot to piss in, nor does Anthony, and therefore I think what he wants is his shares, and I think he will...
But he'd be aware Matt has equity in the house,
wouldn't he? I don't know if you look on the loan, Matthew, that Malcolm has against you. Is he registered by a land registry?
Yeah.
Okay, so if Rambia looks at land registry, he'll know that Malcolm has a loan against his house, and therefore there's no equity in that. So it's fairly obvious that, you know, Rambia isn't a stupid person, but what Rambia wants is his shares. And I think longer term, I think be it Rand Limited in liquidation or not, I think that he would rather have the shares in the... He would still have or want the shares in the company in liquidation or not, and then to challenge from the inside. Whether he has a case or not isn't the point, but the point is that he has nothing else to do. He, in my opinion, has a free lawyer at hand who's very good, and they'll just string it out for as long as it takes. Which may not even get anywhere.
Why is he not filed like a blackmail claim against me?
I think he's probably just waiting.
But in his testimony at Christmas last year, yeah, where we said drop hands or walk away. And he came back and said, yeah, I'll walk away, but I want the right still to pursue Matthew and Anthony. I don't understand that, you see. To my mind, that doesn't make any sense. Why would you just want to go after Matthew and Anthony?
Because he feels like...
I think his easiest route in, because they're, inverted commas, the weakest point, and once he files the claims against Matthew and Anthony, which he has now done, which clearly shows it's for shares and not for money, in my opinion. Once he has that shares and money, he then gets to file claims against the company, and therefore the directors or people that were at the company. It's the easiest way through the back door.
So in terms of, so we kind of understand the backdrop, and what you're saying, Mehul, you don't have acknowledging, accepting your point with your father's shares and you and I, but ultimately, you think there's no legs in you pursuing. So even if you and I sort out the share issue, boom, done now, imagine that's done. Would you have, if that was sorted, would you have an interest in pursuing the loan agreement that exists between you and Rambia on the basis that he may not have the emails?
Yes. And then if it happens that he pulls some emails out, Dad would say, oh, sorry, I'm a 65-year-old senile man and I'm not very good with emails, and therefore I don't remember these from 10 years ago. If Rambia was to pull out stuff with regards to no, that loan was for these shares, and therefore what you're talking about is bollocks.
Cool. So I'll follow up with you on the share stuff.
Just one thing on the criminal. Yeah, because Quinn Emanuel, I was just searching Ranbir Singh and Quinn Emanuel just in case he started working there or something. It didn't look like he does. But Quinn Emanuel is a world renowned white collar criminal defence lawyer. So in the case where we take criminal action, how watertight is that criminal action when you've got one of the best trial lawyers in the world?
Nothing is watertight, but you should also read up on Brian O'Neill's profile and so on. I mean, the guy is not—he's hardcore, mate, and he's a guy that's down the guy that did all the shit at HSBC. I mean, yes, Quinn Emanuel might be great, but and also I would know, kind of contradicting myself. But, yes, you've got to prove beyond shadow of doubt. If you want my, there's no guarantees, mate. There's no guarantees.
Yeah, no, sure.
But my personal view is, I think he would lose. That's my view.
So, in terms, just going back to the criminal, because we've spoken about this obviously a couple of points in the past, and Adam, you were doing a bit of backfinding on it and so on. So we would need to spend a bit of cash to bring him up to date again, in terms of just bringing him up to update the story and the picture. And I think last time you said the maximum ballpark we could expect to spend would be about 150 or so, or a little bit more. And you're essentially paying for his time in court. So is that again?
Sorry, it depends how long the trial runs. Those figures were based roughly on a 3-week trial, I think. And I hadn't incorporated a number for another set of lawyers doing the background. That's just the trial lawyers, not people like David Bailey, as an example, who knows the background of the case, being at court for those 2 weeks.
Sorry, mate, just say that again. Sorry, mate, just to be clear, basically, my understanding is that the quote is 150 grand to complete the whole action against Singh.
Right, well, no, it's not. Because it was never a quote. It was always an estimate based on based on assumed numbers. And I haven't got the email in front of me, but I'm not sure whether it was 150, not including the time required for David Bailey to be in court, or someone like David Bailey to be in court, and another to support the case if required. But as I say, that's why we don't know whether it would be required or not. But if they were required to be in court, a team, an extra to the team, it would be an extra 20-30 grand.
But so I
can just reforge you the email. I just haven't got it in front of me. That's what
basically, we basically need to sum up and summarise the costs as will be.
I've done it all. It's all in an email.
What I'm saying is we need to summarise roughly what we believe the costs would be taking to criminal trial.
Seems it's 200 grand, right?
Yeah, I could say that's the farthest north it would be.
Is what does everybody think about what Ranbir will do? Because my view, again, is I believe Ranbir will take it all the way until the steps of the criminal trial, and then he'll basically say, please fucking save me and get me out of this. I'm not sure Matt agrees with that. I think Matt thinks he might actually go to prison. So basically, you spend the money and probably on the steps of the court get it back, but you've got to assume that you might not.
No. I think we've got to assume we won't get it back just because we never seem to make any money out of the legal actions apart from the first one, which we gave away anyway. And we've also got to assume that we won't be liable for his cost unless there is something critical that we've relied on in our case that he can prove to be a categorical falsehood.
Well, how likely is that? In my opinion, that's circa 1-3%.
Yeah, that's highly unlikely, but that is the only reason whereby he could claim costs.
And just to be clear, this is the breach of settlement. It's the breach of his settlement agreement. And
this is the original embezzlement, which means you'll go down as well, mate.
Oh, great, let's do it then.
I need to laugh now just to make sure you understand that was a joke. No, this is definitely 100% for basically... basically, what he's done is he has committed a further fraud, a further deceit by signing a contract when he, which said he would take no actions to cause prosecution against the company, no defamatory, blah, blah. And basically what Brian O'Neill has said is that instead of going after fraud and deceit, which was what the civil action that Michael Lazarus proposed, was that he proposes that he's basically prosecuted on two counts of perverting the course of justice, which is maximum 14 years. His estimate is he'll get 6 to 8.
And what's the two counts? You said there were two counts of perverting course of justice?
Yeah, I don't know why there's two, but I don't know what the difference is between one and two. It's technicality.
It's like you said at the beginning of the call, George, like, and I think we're all in agreement, if he doesn't go to prison or on the steps of the court settles and, you know, and agrees to piss off out of everyone's life, then this is just going to continue for another 3-5 years at least, because he'll just be pulling, you know, particularly with these, you know, with what he's trying to do with me and Ant and getting some shares and so on. And then if you run that through and say if you liquidate the company, and then he'll try and put a claim in, and then he'll try and argue that he should have some shares in Jet, and he'll just go on and on and on. He's with his,
what
I guess, it must just be his mother funding it. Was the only, it's either
I agree with Matthew that I just think that he's not going to stop. And I think that... I actually don't think his mother's funding it. I actually think he's ingratiated himself into, what's his name? Queen Emmanuel. And I think he's probably doing it for, I'm just saying, and I think he's probably doing it as a friend. He was willing to give Rambi a job when it all went tits up. He'd be willing, knowing that Rambi was probably in the wrong, so I'm guessing he's willing to back his friend, but he was willing to give a job to, especially as we drop the civil.
But can I make a sorry, just before I make a proposal as a draft kind of plan of attack, can I ask what everybody thinks in terms of how far he will take it? Do people think he will drop it on the court steps, or do they think he'll go to jail?
I'd take 50-50.
It's just irrelevant though, either way.
I think probably dependent. I think his decision will be dictated by what Richard East said to him. And to be honest, if I was Rambier and Richard East was on my side, I'd listen to him, because you just have to look at his track record.
Okay, can I put forward a proposal? If anyone's got a pencil, if anybody, and then I think basically if people are agreeable to this, their coherence on the call, then just say yes, agreed. If not, then please highlight where you think not. Matthew, we work with Matthew to come up with a strategic response, basically politely replies to Ranveer's request, as best we see fit. We try to minimise the costs that are incurred legally in either Matthew, assuming Matthew's got a consultancy contract with the company or whatever, effectively all of us together, to try and minimise the cost Matt incurs, but let's Rambier run with his case if that's what he's intending to do. Simultaneously, I believe we should put Land Limited liquidation. Thirdly, I think George and Mel need to sort out their share shit, and if they can do that and it's resolved amicably for the best interest of everybody, that ultimately then I think perhaps there's also a claim by Mehul, and Mehul may be also a consultant to the company at that point, to pursue his loan agreement. Number four, I think we should now, with all earnest, proceed with criminal action, albeit prior to doing that, we should have a summary email chain reviewing what the likely costs are for for all of us, and similarly what the potential, even if it is 1% to 3% liability, is for having to incur their Singh's costs. And on that point, I'll come back to this again, but there is potentially, and I'll have to ask you to Gilly about this, a way that, you know, you launch it, you get the summons, you get the case going, and then you go, the company can no longer fund it, and you try and get the CPS to pick it up so that we can get saved costs. And then number five, press. Nothing has gone to the press.
there's various subjects in open court. I think none of the actions that have been considered for press have happened. I think they should now happen.
But with the press, do they really care about that?
Matt, hold the point to finish, mate, until the end. Number six, SEMA, I think, you know, there's nothing now. I'm done with it. Nothing to stop me contacting SEMA regarding the current matters and what Sonia's done. And similarly, Sonia's work being contacted through Staffordshire Network or whatever you want to call it. Again, my proposal to share.
Just two points for me. One, just with the press, I'm not sure how powerful that is now because he's nothing, you know, he doesn't work in the city, he's got nothing to do with it. I don't think he's really going to care. So I'm kind of either way on that. With the liquidation, I think it's a good idea to do it, but I'm not sure in the face of a tax investigation from HMRC how that's going to look. And they could probably freeze the liquidation anyway, I would have thought.
I don't think so. All that happens in the liquidation, mate, is it goes into liquidation. There's no longer shares that Rambia can have. You've basically got a friendly liquidator. It's probably the best scenario we'll ever have for winding up this brand. The HMRC thing will continue. They'll just be speaking to the liquidator, or the insolvency practitioner. We'll still have to do all the stuff regarding corporation tax because the HMRC have asked for that. It won't change anything, but it will just finally get rid of Ram Limited. And then
they'll put just another barrier.
Well, probably moves his ability. He's then got another barrier, another hurdle, like you say, Lucy, in terms of getting any shares, because then he's got to prove that there's a link between RAN and Jet, and that is very, very difficult to do, given that the RAN and Jet transaction was completed absolutely independently, utilizing two different lawyers by Jason and the company.
Is there anything Ranveer could do to, because if we liquidate, we can get kind of our friendly guy. Is there anything Rand could do to force the hand so it would go to someone else who's more neutral or even...
That's a very, very good question. The reason to put the company into insolvent liquidation as opposed to solvent liquidation is if you put the company into solvent liquidation, any creditor has the right to appoint another insolvency practitioner. That's why, even if it was just for a pound, but that would be stupid, obviously, it just wouldn't look right. But if it, say, was for like £23,000, would be the right thing to do if we put it into insolvent so that he couldn't change the insolvency practitioner from our friendly. Similarly, though, I don't know this for sure, but I think I have had this conversation from memory that he can potentially, obviously, the court will always override anybody else. He could approach the court and say that that person is not independent. But, you know, he's, again, on a very sticky wicket. And the other thing that I can add to that is that I've created a situation whereby Bing as a creditor would be a smaller creditor than Jet and Trader News Limited. So he wouldn't be the largest creditor in any event.
Yeah, but that would all be dependent on how he rules up his shareholders, essentially, or anything like that.
Sorry, mate.
Any claim he had on the company would all be dependent on the outcome of the case based on his action against Mark.
Well, not really. How so? Why?
Because if he's going after the company, saying it owes him money or whatever, or owes him shares because of what's going on with Matt and Anthony, that would be the only way he gets into the company. Otherwise...
Yeah, but he's going after... Hang on a second. He's going after Matt for that money, not the company. So
that's the next step, though. The next step is to go after the company. So he would potentially argue, or not argue, but would potentially think, well, they're in cahoots here. Look, they've just sold the company, so whatever happens with them, I'm screwed. That's why they've done it. And
he'd be entitled to shares. So he's chasing Matt for money. If Matt can't pay it, he goes after shares in RAN. RAN's a company in liquidation. Okay, so... you can have your shares in a company that's worth nothing.
Yeah, so what I'm saying is, what I'm trying to get to, long-winded, is the sooner we do it, the better, because there's less argument he could have that we've just wound it up, so he's got nothing to get, Matt's got nothing to give him, essentially.
No, and that's why, I think that his back door that Mehl refers to about, you know, getting shares and going through the back door is become almost impossible. I mean, we've all learned about, you know, what happens when a company goes, no one cares anymore, because basically everybody's about money, yeah? And ultimately, no one's going to care about anything. And that's notwithstanding the fact that this guy is friendly, but albeit he's obviously independent, he's not going to put his job on the line for us. But there's nothing being done wrong at RAM, things that I think argue the case. Why has he gone into liquidation? Well, one major part of it going into liquidation is the fact that he stole millions of pounds from it.
Yeah, true. I think he would, if there was no company and no shares, he would just be coming after me for cash at that point.
Yeah.
Because that's the only thing that would happen.
Anyway, it doesn't really matter as much, to be honest.
Well, you've already established it's 30 grand.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
And he's also 30 grand amount, hopefully facing a criminal prosecution, and I also hopefully facing a second from Neville.
Guys, I've got to get off a call. I've got the kid solo. I think we've made some sort of progress.
Okay, I'll just check the numbers on the criminal and get a copy of the email sent to everyone.
Adam, if you can ping those to me, I'll put them on summary email, mate, for everybody.
Oh, okay, no, it's in there. Okay, yeah, well, then.
Is everybody agreeable to that? Is Jason still on?
Yeah. I'm still here. I'm agreeable with all that.
Sorry, Matt. What's the deal with all the society?
Sorry, say that again. I can't hear you over the kids.
I assume your position is you're agreeable with everything proposed, but you think it should have happened 2 years ago.
Yeah, pretty much. You know me all too well. Cool.
If everyone's agreeable. No, we'll move forward on that basis.
Okay, cool.
Okay, cool.
Catch up on that. Cheers, bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. See you, Jack. Bye.